great to be with you all this week. What a great opportunity to have your website reviewed. I remember last year, I think it was, in the leaders, Greg went through the analytics of the backside of their website. And it was super helpful to see and to understand even my own stuff through the lens of that. So definitely take up the opportunity to get that visibility for yourself. All right. We are excited to talk about mindset. And just as our normal check-in, I invite you to post in the chat how you're doing. Rank yourself 1, 2, or 3. 1 means I'm doing great, got good momentum. 2 means I'm a bit pacing. Maybe I feel stuck in a particular area. 3 means like full stop, overwhelmed, stuck in the mud, something is going on. And as you do that, also just give a little bit of an insight to it. I know some of you put your numbers already. just put a little insight to that. Like, what is the thing that's happening? That way I can kind of bunch a couple of the coaching conversations together if it suits. And I'll give you a moment to respond there. So you got 1, if you're doing well, feeling above the line, 100% and moving forward. 2, if you feel like you're pacing, maybe you're right at the line. Maybe sometimes you're above the line, sometimes below the line. And then 3 is just completely below line, below the line. So Nicholas, I do see the 3, and I'm curious what that is, since I'm still waiting on some of the other responses to come in. I'll just go ahead and coach you right away, if you'd like.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you great. Right. Good to see you again. Great.
Yeah. Yeah, I appreciate the insight. I'm kind of struggling mostly just with this tax shop integration stuff that I decided was a fantastic idea that is kind of at the moment just completely derailed whatever, you know, progress I felt like don't get me wrong. It's good and bad. It definitely forced me to do a lot of things that I, you know, hadn't done, but now I'm at the point where with this tax shop that I need to decide which direction I want to go with, just say the overall service. I'm contemplating just taking the whole shop basically virtual, with the exception of the ideal clients. So in other words, the ideal clients that I identify, which would be mostly people that are you know, near retirement, those sorts of folks I would still offer to work with directly, but the remainder of the clientele I would offload to what would be basically a virtual service. I did have discussions with another CPA on handing off a number of the business clients simply because they're not going to be my ideal client type. So that would be essentially just a referral fee for those. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, you know, is reasonably decent. I think that could work. I'm just, you know, again, I think I'm just concerned mostly about where this shop is located. It's not far from my office, about 30 minutes. The old school CPA groups tell me you have to be there. You got to stay in that office or it's not going to work. With like the age group that I'm going for another, so in other words, like the nearly retired people are not going to be happy about me moving the shop 30 minutes away. My thought was, as long as they can still come visit directly and I'm responsive, if, you know, face to face, that'll work. Mm-hmm. The remainder of the people, the other client types, I don't particularly care if they like or don't like the virtual, you know, side of it. I mean, nothing against those people. It's just
willing to take the risk.
Yeah, they're not my ideal client. They're younger. They most likely are okay with a virtual, and my guess is. But anyway, the office has been mostly unchanged for a long time. So
sure,
any sudden movements make me apprehensive.
And so you marked this as a 3. So you feel really stuck around it.
Yeah.
What do you think is really going on for you?
I do think I'm mostly just, I think afraid that if I make too many changes, everybody's going to bolt, obviously. At the same time, I'm worried that if I don't make any changes, then I'm going to be stuck because I can't operate the same. I can't operate this office the same way it has been in the past, for sure. It's not going to work for me. I mean, it may have been fine for the previous owner, but it's not going to work for me. So I can tell that. The idea, obviously, with most of this was to gather more assets, not simply run a tax shop. So that was the objective. So it's with, you know, from that perspective, am I wrong to say that, you know, closing that office and, you know, encouraging everyone to come 30 or 35 minutes away from where they have been coming is a huge risk, or, you know, or is it, I'm just overly worried about it. You know, the one advantage I know that I do have at the moment is in our area, there is a real, and I think it's probably in other areas as well, but just a real like dearth of CPAs. I mean, there's just not hardly that many of them, and all of them don't want more clients. I mean, we've surveyed 10 different CPAs around here. None of them want more clients. So these folks, you know, necessarily don't really have another option. I mean, they do. I'm sure that they'll get in somewhere if they really try, but I mean, a lot of them, you know, will struggle with that, I think. So in other words, the market's, you know, it's full. So that part of it, I feel okay about.
Okay. So it sounds like you've got this place of, if you move away, it might create too much change. If you don't move away, you'll feel stuck. Which of those is like the heavier thing that you're dealing with that makes you a three today?
Operating out of that office to me makes me feel stuck. Like I'm just going to be stuck doing the work the exact same way it's been done in the past. I don't want to work that way. Sure. There's some good people there. Yeah. There's some good clients there, but, some nice people and whatnot that may go somewhere else simply because, you know, you're not in that office anymore. But yeah, that is definitely more so the struggle at the moment. It's definitely but like I said, I've surveyed some.
Can I pause you there for just a moment?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So if you stay, then you're going to feel stuck. And that feels like the heavier thing.
Right.
So what does it mean about you if you stay?
I don't know. On the one hand, I feel like it's like, okay, you're just, if I stay, I feel like I'm just essentially just kind of giving up on what I want to do. And I have to accept the reality that, you know, it's not going to work another way or whatever. If I pursue going the route I would like to go, you know, I just worry that I'm, you know, maybe these other older CPA, which again, these other people I've surveyed are older and they're all suggesting, you know, you have to commit to that office. You can't give up on that. And that aspect of it makes me think, okay, well, maybe I'm just being too whiny about it. I should just stick it out, you know? So
you're either giving up on yourself or too whiny.
Right. Right. When you put it that way, it sounds wonderful.
Well, and it's only from the perspective of either or, right?
Right.
So if you were to elevate above the situation and find the win-win where you get to hold on to what you want and your clients get what they need, what do you see?
Well, I mean, ideally I move back to my normal office, which is, you know, where I had been operating from previously. The win-win-win probably would be to offload the majority of the, what would be, I would say, our virtual clients that are not my ideal client type, into, you know, that more of that virtual kind of service that I can still generate revenue from, and maybe hire someone to help manage that workload, and then just focus in on the ideal client type that are in that group. Mm-hmm. And, you know, see if I can generate some more AUM from it. So, I mean, in terms of my AUM,
can I pause you there?
Yeah.
So just recognizing my mindset is a little bit different from practice management, in that practice management, we go into all the details of how it can benefit you and all the things. Where we're focusing is simply that place of, I'm either giving up myself or I'm too whiny. And that's where you're really stuck. Because ultimately, you know the numbers, you've done the research, you know what you want to move, but you're not moving quite yet. So my question is, what if you can zoom out and you are an eagle in the air looking down at the situation, what is your highest level of commitment? If that could be a quality, and that could be, my highest level of commitment is service. My highest level of commitment is integration. My highest level of commitment is continuity. I don't know what it is for you, but as you see this and seeing the move that you know you need to make for yourself and that ultimately will be good for those who stay with you, what is that highest level of commitment for you?
I guess I don't fully understand, other than like, I think, the original intent was, to integrate, you know, the tax, a lot of the aspects of the tax practice. So in other words, you know, the tax planning and the tax preparation into, the overall wealth service offering to clients to improve outcomes. That was the objective, and still, I think, is the objective. From my perspective, is I wanted to do better work. That's all. I mean, okay. I wanted to do a better job.
Let's take that. So you want to improve outcomes,
right?
What does that create for your clients?
Hopefully, you know, better quality of living, and you know, I don't know about necessarily higher returns, but at least a more quality, you know, quality of life.
Mm-hmm. So quality of life perhaps is your highest commitment, not only for yourself, I hear, but for them.
Right. Yeah.
So when you come from that place, I am creating quality of life for the people that want to stay with me. How does that shift your stuckness around the situation?
Yeah. I mean, that does help. I think it's just a matter of like, okay, what is it going to take? I just want to know, I guess, if I were to go this route, which is essentially, you know, notifying everybody, you know, the office is moving. It's not even that it's going away forever. It's just not here. And mm-hmm. There's a new service offering, et cetera. You know, what's it going to take to make that happen? What kind of, I mean, cause I'm a little bit stuck on, you know, am I doing too much, or am I trying to do too much? I mean, obviously I'm stuck on that, but, over a short period of time, what do I need to do to, assuage whatever fears those people might have and get them, you know, acclimated to the idea of working.
Are you open to a reflection?
Sure.
I asked you from the quality of life and you went back down to too whiny.
Okay.
If you're coming from quality of life, like you are creating a new quality of life for them, what's the message?
Well, hopefully that, you know, come with me and we'll work together and we'll improve outcomes and improve your own quality of life, hopefully, you know.
100%. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Was that helpful?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think I get a little bit stuck in my head with the opinions of, you know, when I survey the people in my area now, again, most of them have only really operated in one way, for, you know, probably decades. So, I mean, their suggestions are, you know, that's not going to work. You're going to have to keep doing things the way it's been done, essentially, sure. If you want it. Right.
CPAs, you know, will always say that.
Okay.
They like data. They like history.
Gotcha.
And you've seen it. You're in a cohort of people that create this kind of change all the time.
That's good. All right.
Cool. What's your next action from this place?
Well, I would say I'm going to be sending out letters, I'd say by the end of this week, to everybody, which I've been dealing with service issues and whatnot for quite a while. I'm not an unknown factor, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But, no one knows essentially that, you know, down the road, most likely I'll be working from another office, et cetera. I also will be communicating this, this other CPA that I'm going to be kind of partnering with on offloading some of the clientele towards. So, I think probably, I mean, again, one, maybe I also should back up next best step. Because I haven't really done much marketing towards this group for, you know, the wealth management side. They know that I provide some of those services, or maybe they don't know. I don't know, because I haven't done that much marketing. In terms of my like goals, I mean, I'm probably only about 25 or 30% way there in terms of AUM goals, for the clientele. So I need to gather more assets. But I'm partly concerned that, you know, if you're only about 25 or 30% of the way there, and now you're talking about potentially moving the office, et cetera, do I need to stick it out longer to gather the remainder of that goal before I move, was the question kind of, I mean, that is part of it. That's part of what I had going on in the background, I guess, is, you know, do I need to stick it out longer so I can hit that goal before I move? Am I just prolonging it because I hit that goal and then I'll tell everybody, okay, now I'm moving offices. Is that worthwhile, you know, to do it that way, or just rip the Band-Aid off and make the move?
So my suggestion there, it sounds like that is a practice management question, is to type that question into Tribe, tag Stephanie, tag Coach Natalie, tag Adam, tag other people that you maybe have seen do something similar that you want their insight on, and sort that piece out. In the meantime, what I don't hear you wanting to stay in that, when we talk about like good vibes, the right. Good vibes of this is quality of life for everybody. I can't wait to serve these people in this way. Won't it be great when they're all over? And when we can, that's the piece where we talk about a good morning routine. Holding on to that thought and starting your day from there shifts your day completely. And so my invitation to you is to spend more time in that place of quality of life for all.
Okay. That's cool. That makes sense.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool.
Thanks a lot.
Great work. Okay. Let me look through here. For those who are just joining, you're welcome to put in your rank for the week. Where are you at? Are you at a one, which means you're completely above the line, high performing, in gear? Are you a two, which is kind of pacing, maybe like right at the line? Sometimes you're above, sometimes you're below. Or are you at a three, which is mostly below the line, feeling really stuck and needing some coaching today? And right now I'm looking for some threes. So the next one I see is Taylor Nissi. 2 to 3, completing a platform transition. I think I need to hire, but I'm not exactly sure if that's right or if I need to buckle down and spend more time focusing automation and process to relieve the pressure. Taylor, if you can come, oh, there you are. Nice.
Yep. How you doing?
Great. So I see this question and it sounds like you're at a decision inflection point. What makes this an almost full three for you?
What makes it a three? Because I am torn about which direction to go. I'm turning away clients that are not necessarily a right fit for me, but they would be a right fit for, you know, a junior advisor. I don't have any sort of succession plan. I don't have any sort of talent development currently happening. And I think that's something I want to do, but obviously doing it is a undertaking, right? You don't hire somebody and not manage them and train them. So it wouldn't necessarily save me time. So I'm just debating, you know, do I want to hire somebody and make that commitment, you know, financial, time, all the stuff that comes with it, or try to figure out better ways to leverage the tools and resources I have, you know, automation, systems, processes, things like that. I think it's probably some combination of the two. But either way, I'm going to need to hire eventually in the next probably, you know, year, even if I don't do it now.
Okay. And so recognizing I don't have an opinion on when to hire or not, that's a great question for practice management. What is your big why that you've defined for yourself?
My big why is I just want to provide for my family. I've got some kids. I want to make sure that they have, you know, same opportunities my parents worked hard to provide. I want to have a good impact on my clients. I want to help my clients feel good about, their financial situation and accomplish all the stuff they want to do. And, I'm competitive. I want to be good. I want to keep winning business and keep growing and, continue to sort of be a leader in my community.
Which is the biggest of the whys amongst those three?
Definitely, the financial side, being able to support my family.
And where are you at with that? You feel like you're on target, exactly where you need to be?
I'm doing great. I'm very happy with where I am and all that, which again is why I think I'm in a position to hire. I don't necessarily need all the stuff that I'm making. I'd make an investment if it was going to grow the value of the firm, improve the life of my clients, make our operations run better. Those are all reasons why I think hiring now makes sense. Whereas, a year ago, I probably would have had a different view of that.
What would you have to let go of to make a decision to hire?
I don't think it's so much of letting go. I think it's more, the common question of, is hiring just throwing money at a problem? Like, is it actually going to solve the problem, or do I still need to do? I think that's why I said it's, I think it's a combination of both. I still need to continue refining the firm processes with the platform transition. Our CRM is now HubSpot, which is a very powerful thing that I don't, I'm coming over from Redtail, which is fine, but it's a whole different animal. And I'm sort of what Nicholas was talking about. He's doing the tax stuff. I'm doing stuff with business owners and launching a whole nother brand focused specifically on exit planning. So I just feel like my calendar, every week I look at it and I'm like, wait, there's no time when something comes up unplanned. So I just need to increase capacity, which I think is a function of the systems, and having a second set of hands would probably help.
So when you said at the top of our conversation, you said you're torn because you feel like you need to turn away clients. You have no succession plan in place, and talent acquisition and training is going to be an investment. You don't know if this is the time for that or not. Do you have any further clarity in this moment about that?
I think I need to do it. It's just I don't know if today, like this month, this quarter is the right time, or if it's, a February thing. I think that's kind of my question. And how much more, I guess, how much more can I sustain what I'm currently doing, right? Because I'm turning away clients. I'm not necessarily having as much time to commit to the right fit clients to get that stuff done. And then, well, the new prospects I'm talking about. And then also, I don't want to, underserve any of my current clients and let them down. So I'm just kind of, I feel just very stretched, very thin.
It made me curious. It's popped up a couple times in my brain. Might be completely the wrong direction, but how is competition getting in your way?
How is competition getting in my way? I probably see somebody doing something and think like, why am I not doing that? Something that's like impressive and good, and or I hear about something, and try, I guess I take on more trying to stay competitive, maybe. I don't know.
And do you sense that in this whole process?
A little bit. I mean, not, I don't know. I don't think so. I don't know, maybe.
Okay.
Not sure.
What made me curious is, we can be competitive on all different levels, right? And advisors are really good at moving the needle on where we're competing. Like, am I competing for the number of clients or the AUM? Oh, but then I look at this person and they're really great. I like what they're doing. So I think I'm going to compete here, which ultimately means we have to move the needle other places. And
Yes. Yeah,
what
so
if there's
maybe that's causing the problem. Like, I'm seeing some of my colleagues in the, working with business owners and exit planning, doing some things that now I'm trying to adapt, and it's just taking up more time.
So is there something you're currently doing that it's not the right time for, and you need to set down?
I thought about that, but I don't think so.
Okay.
The new brand is probably that thing, but so
Okay.
far we've gotten two very, very great fit clients from it, and we only started like a month ago.
Okay. So the new brand is showing some potential. So you got new brand, new message, you've got systems processes, you've got hiring a person. Something's got to give.
Yeah, I think it's the hiring. I think a second set of hands is probably the thing to do.
Okay. Is the
But
thing
that's
to start or is the thing to back burner?
so I'm trying to get ready for an October surge. So I think it's a back burner until I finish the October surge. But I think starting right after October, or maybe even in October, and I don't know, I'd be curious, how many folks here have hired, and did you work with a recruiter? Did you do it yourself? Because that alone is another job. I mean, so I don't even know where to start with that. And
That's a
I
great
guess,
question for Tribe. And then you'll get a bunch of answers, a lot of different ways to approach it. So you've got this thing that you know about that you want to do, but you do not have the capacity for. And you have now distinguished that it is not the time for. And sometimes those things keep popping up. Happens for me. And I'm like, oh, it's so irritating. I think I just want to start it. I think I'm just going to reach out to the recruiter right now just to get it started, you know? But then ultimately, it takes the time and the attention away. So, what is your reminder to keep the main thing the main thing?
I don't have one. I probably need one. I mean, I've got my post-it notes on my desk reminding me what my goals are, reminding me what our firm mission is, reminding me what our priorities are. So that's kind of what I use.
So, when I said keep the main thing, what is the main thing?
Serving my clients who we've committed to serving, and making sure that we're executing on the things we promise, delivering the things that we deliver.
My invitation to you is to find some sort of visual way of continuing to remind yourself that this is on the front burner and that's on the back burner. And if you have team members or if you have someone that you continually come back and talk to about it, tell them that I need to back burner this. So anytime I start talking about it and start brainstorming it, I need you to pause me. I need you to tell me to stop and we're back to serving clients.
Okay, great.
Was that helpful?
Yeah, no, it was. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks for volunteering. Okay, got quite a few twos here. Kevin and Terry, maybe you added something later. My Andy, bunch of my associates. Okay. So I'm getting a sense of overwhelm from a couple of these different folks. And I wonder if you identify as being overwhelmed and you put yourself as a two, whether it's hiring, whether it's someone left, whether it's getting off of vacation and coming back on track, raise your hand and we'll pin you so that we can do kind of a round table that you've seen me do before and see what learnings we can find. So, Andy, you're one that I saw in on that. So I'm going to go ahead and spotlight you. Who else? And now that I've spotlighted Andy, I can't see. Okay, so Kevin, you got to raise your hand and keep it raised. Anybody else? You also have to come on camera so I can see who you are. All right. If you decide you want to be added to this group, just speak up. I'm going to go ahead and start. And let's see here. I will show myself you and add to spotlight. Cool. All right, Andy, Kevin, thanks for volunteering to get coached. I have it that this is going to be a great session for you. It's going to help set your year, the rest of your year. So, Andy, if you can, I read what you said. If you can highlight in a minute what it is that has you feeling most stuck, what is it?
So my associate advisor was a 9 out of 10, I would say. I had him for 11 months. He got offered some really exciting opportunity that's not competing with us or whatever, but super discouraging, right? Because I integrated him into everything that we're doing at Limitless, and I'm trying to soak up every good piece of advice we get, right? We added a workflow system, Hubly, which we didn't have before, and he was really involved in that. We did two, our first two surges were with him involved, right? In the fall of last year and the spring of this year. He's not going to be here for this fall. We put together a model meeting, all those things. And to go from a team of three back to a team of two, it's like, oh my gosh, really good things that came out of that. But I got to train somebody new and get them up to speed on what we've been doing, because I'm trying to, I want to, again, focus on all the great things I'm learning in Limitless and do a one-page financial plan and enhance the surge experience and do the growth summit in September. But it's like, oh, I gotta, there we're in the hiring process. I work for a larger firm, so we have recruit, we have HR recruiters, and we've already interviewed some people. But it feels, sorry, I'm probably over 60 seconds, but it feels like it'll be a daunting task to train and bring them up to speed, and we just went through it and lost that person. So that's kind of where I'm at.
Okay. Kevin? Oh, it's muted.
There we go. Too many mute buttons. No, to me, it's just almost at the end of this pipe, I guess we'll call it, of backlog. But it's just the result of, many years of slowly getting more and more behind due to one, a combination of I, as I've learned, not the best staff members, small office, but best assistants, culminating this last year, and one leaving, which was a very good thing, and then have hired a temporary, part-time but well-seasoned CSA, and it's really opened to my eyes how someone can perform in that role. But like I said, kind of the backlog, goes back to, really 10 years. It's where it kind of all started when my mom was diagnosed with Alzheimer's, and an aging father, out of town siblings who were in disagreement over any decisions were that were being made, and it just snowballed on one another to some, health and mental issue. Mental health issues with my kids, and just led to a backlog that's really, I've just had to really be grinding through to get out of. Part of that has been Limitless, and helping to recognize areas in the practice to improve on, and a lot more things I want to do. But just there's just not enough time in the day to get it all, to get it all done. And that's frustrating because I want to be there, but I know I'll get there. But it's just that's where I am right now, is where I wanted to be by now. I'm just not there yet. But there's no magic answer. It's just continuing the grind, so.
Yeah. One thing I'm present to in both of what you said, both participants, is like just underneath the surface is frustration, right? And Kevin, you directly stated it.
Just
And you had a
impatient,
lot of energy around it, but never stated that you're frustrated. You're just like, well, we did all the things and we did this and we did this. I felt the energy there. And then I got to train somebody again. And you're like, you slowed way down. And so my invitation to you just in this moment is to take a piece of paper. I'm going to give you 30 seconds. This is for anybody that's on the line right now. What are you frustrated about? I want you to just write it all out. 30 seconds. Go. Okay. Take a deep breath. Put your hands on the table. Feet on the floor. Liz Hand, who's always sitting cross-legged in my chair. Take a deep breath in. Going to connect back our mind to our body. And remember that all things are working for our good. All things, even if they stink in the moment, even if they're kind of irritating or frustrating. So now go back to that list. Cross out anything that you're willing to set down right away. Maybe they're the smaller irritations. Maybe there's something that you're just ready. And when you're done, give me a little nod. Okay. How many items do you have left on the list? If you could just count them quick for me. Three? Two? Okay. So I want you to take a moment and your choice. You can process one of these verbally with me right now if you'd like, if you really feel stuck with it. But maybe first, see if you can find the learning from it. What did it teach you? Maybe that was something about possibility within your practice. Maybe it's something, a blind spot. What did that thing teach you? And write that down for yourself. Give me a nod when you're done. You're done? Okay. Do you have any remaining? Anything left that you feel frustrated on? You could say this verbally. Let me in, Andy and Kevin. No?
Well, for me, I'd say maybe it's not like some great frustration, but when you have one less person, there's just more work to do that wasn't, is, you know, we were used to having it spread out on three, over three mm-hmm. people, and I'm doing work that I don't love to do, right? That mm-hmm. it was nice to have an associate advisor update Money Guide Pro and mm-hmm. to do some of the reports in Excel that are manual. So, you know, attitude shift, mindset change of like, oh, there's an opportunity for me to improve those processes and become really familiar with it. So, I mean, what you're doing is really effective in opening my eyes to what are some learnings that come out of Revan no longer being here. Well, gosh, there's, you know, there's some good that can come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't say I love, you know, some of those aspects of, you know, doing that.
Mm-hmm. So with that, we'll just continue on here, Andy. Couple of things. One thing that I see in this is like, these are open loops. When we have these things that happen that maybe are out of our control or are just upsetting or whatever, there, it's like an open loop. It never was fully closed out. We haven't accepted it. When we accept it fully for all that it was, all that it wasn't, exactly as it is, then we're able to move on. We've closed the loop, right? If until we do that, we're stuck with that feeling of frustration. We're stuck bringing that into our work week. We're stuck being irritated in the moment of doing the thing. So I love that you're able to see those learnings and some places that you can perform it. Also, mindset shift in that is holding the vision of what it will be like when the right person is there, holding the vision that the right person is coming to you, that the recruiters are going to find them. It's going to be a great fit. And man, there's probably going to be even more opportunity because I know so much more now than I did when I was hiring and training that other person or getting them up to speed. And when you can come from that place into your work week, how does that shift
for you? Yeah, I mean, it is a game changer in thinking like, gosh, it will be better than it was before. And it gets me more excited to do the work and to find the person.
Cool. What about you, Kevin? What'd you learn?
There again, I can't do this all by myself, and because nobody can really, you know, nobody's all talented. It's really not an individual sport when you get right down to it. And to just try to give myself some grace on that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how much, since some of yours was related to family and health, and I don't know how much of grief is interwoven into that. You can't just complete grief.
No,
you got to move through it, right?
Yeah, that's something. It's more than just grief. It's just, I mean, it was ugly, really, really ugly stuff.
Yeah,
that'll never go away. It gets better, but you know, when you've been kind of thrown under the bus by family members, it just never goes away, and so you just have to learn to deal with it and separate from it.
Yeah, I would just say that there is healing available within the context of counseling, and I know you know that.
Yep.
And so there is hope of moving forward from it, and like you said, pulling away the emotion from it, which is the process of counseling. What do you want to carry to get forward momentum with where you are at today, for exactly where it is and exactly where it's not?
Hey, I don't quite understand what you're asking.
So how do you carry positive momentum into all that's to come?
Well, if I'm understanding correctly, there again, it's just to remain focused on where I am and these items that, you know, are constantly in my head. Whether they should be or they shouldn't be, you know, is to just get them completed, get them past me. So that it frees up that bandwidth in my head to focus on what I need to focus on to get to the next level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What came up for me when you said that is kind of a similar conversation to when I was speaking to Taylor, which was keeping the main thing the main thing. You will find that as you complete each task, when you close the loop on things, it gives you a surge of energy. There's like satisfaction that comes with doing that.
Yeah.
And so perhaps having an accountability partner that's set, or talk to your spouse, if that's the person that you end up talking to about this, whoever it is, find someone that you're constantly talking about business with and have them hold you accountable to keeping the main thing the main thing. And Maybe an invitation, a challenge, a next step for you is to post on Tribe, what are your back burner items? What are you know it's not the way that you want it to be, but I'm intentionally setting it aside. So I have had to do this so many times this year with a new, it's kind of like a group coaching or one-to-many thing that I'm doing within our firm called Insight Series. And it's just not what I want it to be. We carved it out. We show up, we do the thing. And then when I'm in it, I'm like, oh, this is not what I want clients to experience. I want this. I see the high bar that I have for myself, and it's not time. And so each month I say something to my employees about, I see that this is not where I want it to be. These are the things that I see are not quite there. And I know it's not where we need it to be. I mean, I know that now is not the time. So I'm intentionally backburnering this. Good practice. Good place to put a pause, or is there another question that I can sort out with either of you?
No, I think I'm good. Like I said, we'll revisit in about a month and a half when hopefully I finish through all this and see how I've moved on to, you know, that big item that I want to get to.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You can always find me on Tribe. Tag me. if you want a response for mindset.
Thank you, Liz. I'll send you a tag on Tribe for another question.
Oh, okay, cool. Very good. All right, where are we going from here? Jeff will hold you accountable. He'll keep you in line. Love it. All right, a couple other twos that I see. Terry. Edwin. Jeremy. Janice. Janice, I know we had a conversation maybe 3 months or so. Where are you at today? I'd love an update if you would want to be coached live.
Yeah, did I come on here?
Yeah, I'm going to add you to my spotlight. There you go. So you're at a two.
Yeah, no, things are going well. I had a great conversation with my previous partner, or not really partner, but former person that I worked with, and we really managed it well. We had a great conversation. He came over, you know, we hugged each other. We talked about our successes and where we complimented each other and also where we let each other down. It was a really growth moment. He gave me an incredible blessing to move on to start my own firm. We're still collaborating behind the scenes on just, you know, improving our service models and things like that. But so I launched my firm the very end of July, and
awesome.
I'm in the yeah. So it's been really a great experience. I feel great. A bit overwhelmed, obviously, for good reasons, and so I'm not necessarily complaining. Just excited, and you know, looking forward to hopefully getting some fractional part-time help where I can really offload some of those things that I'm so not interested in doing. So yeah, no, I feel good. Just
that's awesome.
Yeah. So thank you. I appreciate, you know, the session that we had a couple months ago. It just really gave me a lot of clarity and a lot of understanding too, I think, on, you know, what I was bringing to the table, and to be able to let go. And, and, you know, Kevin used the word today of giving himself some grace. And I just think that's important.
Sure.
That we'd allow ourselves that as well.
I love it.
Yeah.
Amazing. I'm so happy to hear all of this. What did you learn about yourself in the process of going through the valley and now back up into what's next?
It was interesting for me to realize some baggage that I had kept since I was a very young child. And there was an incident growing up before I was born. So I didn't personally experience it, but we had a farm accident, and my brother was killed before I was born. And just how that had affected my family. And I suspected, you know, my dad took the responsibility for it to his grave. And I always suspected that it was my mother that was technically responsible for watching him.
Mm-hmm.
And I had such an amazing experience with her about a year before she passed away, where she acknowledged that to me. And what she said to me, and we held hands, and we had this great moment of forgiveness, you know. And I loved her. I told her that, you know, she can let that pain go now. And but I think that really affected me because I've at some level growing up, I felt alone in processing a lot of that and managing it. And so I saw in my relationship with this previous owner, Jess, I kind of sensed that I was, in a way, taking care of him, similar to probably what I did in my family. I also had this sense of feeling burdened by that. And then being able to acknowledge that I also wanted somebody to take care of me, and that I was a little tired of being in the role I was, and kind of realizing that, you know, I am capable. I can take care of things. I don't need to take necessarily care of others as much. And so, yeah, I think it was just a great, it was a really a meaningful experience for me to let go of, you know, 50 some years of pain, and understand things, understand my method of operation a little bit better.
Yeah, that's huge.
So, yes, yeah, so thank you, Liz, for the opportunity. You're touching a lot of people. So.
Thanks. Yeah, what's so interesting about mindset work is when we really start digging into it, there's just a few core themes to the way that we operate in the world. And when you hear someone say that it doesn't take more effort to hit the next levels of what it is that you want to, it doesn't. It just requires a lot of letting go and letting go and letting go and letting go of ways of being. And for women especially, that caretaking responsibility or imposition or expectation or motivation can be one that is so frequently a place where we have started over caretaking for all different areas of life. I'm learning that even in this moment, this week, had a conversation with someone in my inner circle where I'm still doing that thing to their detriment and to my detriment. And my story in it is that I'm the victim.
Yes,
Like, I don't
right.
get my needs met in this relationship. Oh my gosh, this person, they're harsh, they're whatever, they're flippant. And I'm so caring. I'm like walking on eggshells around them. But what's really true, I'm learning for myself, big share for Liz today, is that it's manipulation. Like, I'm not willing to have conversations with them and just put things on the table. I'm the one choosing to stand on tiptoes around them because I don't want to create a ripple because I've been taught to caretake. And so the more I can set that down and be willing to engage in conversation and engage with exactly what's happening for me and put my cards on the table, the more every single one of my relationships, the air is cleared. Like, I referenced this on a post that I wrote in a group I'm in, that when we have these things that come up, they're like humidity. You know what heat feels like? Heat's pretty tolerable in Arizona. Don't get heat in Ohio because it's so humidity based, because you feel it.
Right.
Like, oh my gosh,
It's heavy.
heavy. And so, can we set it down and clear the air, clear that humidity out of our lives as to get the momentum that we want in any aspect? of our practice or our personal relationships. Thanks so much, Janice.
Yeah, thank you.
Hey, just so you know, I'm practicing giving people feedback right away. I want to see what the name of your firm is, but it's backwards in your picture. And it's probably forwards for you because I think Zoom does the flip thing where I see myself backwards, but everybody else sees me forwards. So I thought you might appreciate that. What is the name of your firm?
It's called Couloir. It's Couloir. And it's
okay.
Mountaineering and skiing term that describes the most bold and direct way to ascend a mountain, or you know, skiers obviously use it to go down. But
awesome,
yeah,
I love it. What a great
All right, well, I'll fix that. Thanks for letting me know that, because I'm working with a marketer. Maybe I flipped it around. So
yeah, I know I've done that in the past too. So
okay, thank you.
Yes, thank you. Spot right here. Okay. Okay. So we've gotten to the point in our call where we've given most people the chance. Jeremy, Edwin, Terry, it is still on the table if you want to get coached. Who would like to be coached? And you might just have to come off mute because I can only see a few of you.
Okay, Liz, I'll
going to share. Okay.
I've got Clark. I've got Terry. I'm going to put you both on.
Okay, good.
See what happens. Like a little concoction here. We don't know where the conversation's going to go, but I know it's going to be good. Where'd you go, Clark? Oh, there you are.
This is like going down Janice's couloir down the ski mountain.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I know what bold. That
so direct. Okay, well, Terry, since you had popped it in the chat earlier, what if you could give us a 1-minute summary of what's going on for you and what you're sorting out?
Okay, here's my question for you. I put a 2, I'm probably a 1, but I always come down to, I probably know what to do, I'm just not necessarily doing it. Mm-hmm. And I really like your coaching style, so I thought, well, you can't just do this for Limitless. You must be doing this, like, somewhere professionally. I mean, not that you aren't professional, but, like, elsewhere. I found your website, and I saw you had a free coaching session to get on your calendar, but I have some things maybe I don't really want to
got it.
Tell everybody about. And
no?
I don't want a free coaching session. I want to just cut to the chase and go down the couloir and hire you for a session or two. So should I even start with a free coaching session, or will we just connect somehow offline and set something up?
So options for you. We have the Limitless Coaching Pass. If you want to do that, you get 4 sessions. We can follow up with you on that. I don't know how that works mid-year, so we can can I circle back to you?
Yeah, sure, we can still offer that to you, Terry, if that's something you wanted to take advantage of.
Are you saying that's included in my Limitless membership, or that's something
so different? It's an add-on, so it's an additional offering that includes 4 coaching calls, and you could use all of those as with Liz. But you are also to hire Liz one-on-one
outside of Limitless.
Yeah,
correct.
Just go ahead and click that button if you want to outside, like whatever, coaching pass, hire directly. It's up to you.
All right.
But you're welcome to use that link.
But either way, it doesn't create an issue for you, Liz, since I'm finding you through Limitless. There's no big deal there.
Nope.
Or maybe you're trying to screen me out to see if I'm actually a good fit, because I could be a jerk of a client.
This is a hilarious conversation. No, the screening process is mostly by like your fit of the style of coaching.
Okay.
Right. Are you coachable? Cool.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's all I had.
Cool. Love Sweetwater.
I don't want to air all my laundry yet, right on here.
Well, thank you. You just gave me my first official advertisement, unofficial advertisement through Limitless. Terry.
All right.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Clark, what's up?
Yeah. Well, thanks for giving me some time to share. I think this is a theme that maybe I can talk about a little bit more over the next 4 months or so. But when there was an open opportunity to do so right now, I thought, you know, I've been feeling like I'm in like a very complacent place in business right now. And we've had some like tremendous growth in the last 12 months. And we are just coming off of a surge. The way that we're running surge, usually like a big spring and then a big fall and then kind of a very light summer. And so maybe that's has a bit to do with it, that I'm just coming off this like very slow, like relaxing summer, and we're gearing up for what I'm certain will be a very busy and productive and lucrative fall surge campaign. And in addition to this, I think I said this in Tribe at some point, so some of you may know, where I'm buying a book of business, and the terms of that deal and the transition of that deal is very favorable, and that advisor's staying on for a few more years, so myself and my team don't have to pick up a whole lot of the workload, but we do get some of the revenue from it. And so that's lending itself even further to this like complacency aspect of things. And then part of me is like, well, that's why you joined Limitless, right? Is to build a lifestyle practice. but at the same time, I think I've like realized, I think that, and this is my thought, don't everybody need to take this, but my thinking is like, that doesn't really exist, right? Because like, if you're serving people, you're serving clients, families, you're growing, you have to grow your team members. All of a sudden, like your lifestyle practice is going to grow. And then you've got to, like, there's a limited amount of time that I have, right? And then you've got to segment, or you've got to add an advisor. We've talked about, you know, adding service advisors and so on. So kind of at that point now where I guess my point is that buying this book, there's revenue coming from it. I've realized there's like probably a limit of the households that I can serve. Mm-hmm. Kind of coming close to. And so I guess where I'm going with this is like, I don't think that I necessarily want to hire an advisor to service this other kind of book over time, but I feel like I probably need to, because it's just organically going to be required. So I think I just stepped in to share because I felt like, well, there seems to be time.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'll pause.
Carpe diem, right?
That's right.
Seize the moment. I love it. And we'd be bold. I mean, that's what this space is created for. We're not here to just sit around and twiddle our thumbs. The office hours are for you to make it your own. Like if you could have the biggest shift out of this whole thing, I see a couple of different areas we could go. What do you want to create out of this conversation?
What do I want to create out of this conversation? Think that, I don't know, I value your opinion and your coaching style. So I just kind of want to hear what...
You won't hear my opinion.
There it goes. I don't know if we have an answer today. I don't know if I need an answer today. And like I said, I think that this is not...
Can I reframe my question?
Yeah, sure.
I think I overwhelmed you with the way that I phrased it. So if you could have an outcome from our conversation, what would the outcome be?
Oh, man.
You can wave a magic wand. Boom, this is the outcome I want.
The words that I want to say are complacency is okay.
Complacency is okay. Okay. What do you think is really going on for you?
I think that I've gotten to a level that I didn't think I would get to, and now I'm unsure of where to go.
And what are you uncomfortable with?
Letting go of my right-hand service advisor to become a lead advisor. And then having to like change my team.
How does that connect to complacency?
Well, if we don't grow as much or at all, and just focus on profitability, we can probably keep paying. We can keep people in position in the right position and just high and just pay them really well.
So it's almost like you're creating two scenarios of ways the firm can go.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want?
That question has been asked countless times to me. What do I want in this business?
I was more thinking life.
You were thinking life.
Mm-hmm. Like Clark in the world.
Oh, man. I don't think they're too different from one another. I want to be able to own my own time. I want to be able to do what I want when I want. After serving the people that who I love and who are paying for our service, paying for our advice. So I think that has a lot to do with it. I think I can be a little self-centered in the way I want to spend my time.
Uh-huh. May I do a quick reframe on that?
Sure.
Self-sourced.
Self-sourced. What is the difference?
What do you hear?
Well, I purposefully excluded the word selfish.
Nice job.
And I have since been using self-centered.
Okay.
But I don't know. I mean, I would appreciate if you have a reason behind it.
I heard a slightly negative tone when you used the self-centered, and maybe that's my own perception coming into the... Maybe you feel really good and open and expansive above the line when you use the word self-centered.
No, and I think both. Yeah, I don't know. I think I struggle with like my wife is like very others focused. Like very little self-centered stuff going on, and I'm the type of person that's like I'm definitely putting on my mask first before I do other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so. For better or for worse, that pops up from time to time.
Okay. Yep. So perhaps self-centered is the word. No nitpicking there, but remembering that when we are coming from the place of overflow, all that oxygen coming in that mask, then we can serve other people even better.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... Just reflection, what I almost heard you comparing is the word lifestyle, like the limitless lifestyle thing,
mm-hmm.
and complacency are equal to each other. Is that fair?
Probably, that's how I'm using it.
Okay. What is complacency?
Although, as you say that, yeah, I think maybe that's not fair.
I'm not here to judge.
Yeah.
Like, you're not offending anybody here.
Saying that it almost feels like a false sense. Like you can't really have both, right? Because like if you're really doing a great job, your team members are growing, you're doing some really like referable work for the families that you're serving and working for. They're organically giving you, you know, introductions and, you know, naturally you've got to grow, right? So, and I guess there's a whole like one in, one out side of it, so that it's not like there's more work being done. It's the same amount of work.
You can stop people from entering your firm. That is an option.
Say that one more. Say the last part again.
That is an option.
Right.
What does complacency mean?
To me?
Mm-hmm.
Probably like not putting in a maximum effort.
Ah. So it makes sense why that wouldn't feel comfortable. I imagine we could pull the room and nobody would be signing up for that coaching program. Or maybe they would. I don't know. The maybe
max,
I'm wrong.
The max effort coaching program?
The no max effort.
Oh, got it. Yeah.
Yeah, because you're brilliant, right? And there's no part of you that wants to come in at a low level.
I definitely want to be like really efficient. Like I'm always looking for like, what's the most efficient way we can get a really good job done, not a perfect job done, but a really good job done. And maybe in some ways we're doing that.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like it.
And then I think the idea of growing and shifting team members and hiring new people is always scary.
Mm-hmm. What came up for me is an image that I've had for myself, and maybe I've shared in other coaching conversations. So I trust you'll hear something new if you've heard it already. But there's a way that like we join Limitless and we do this climb, right? We see all the things that we can fix and we start fixing them and we implement the things. We go, 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 go. And then we reach this plateau where you're like, you stand on it and you look out and you're like, oh my gosh, I did it. Wow, this is kind of cool. And you have the option to keep climbing, right? Or you have the option to stay on the plateau. And maybe you have a relationship with the word plateau, negative one. But a plateau is just a place to stand. A plateau is a place to look out. Great views from a plateau.
Yeah.
A plateau can hold, it could hold a swing set for you to just enjoy. It has the foundation to do that if you want. When we use the word complacency or the not max effort or have it hinted with not good, you're naturally going to resist it. Not to mention the industry has told you that growth for growth's sake is what you're pursuing.
Yeah.
So you have the option to stay here, reframe it for yourself, and just enjoy what you've created. And when you're hyper efficient, yes, you have extra time. And that might feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You can choose to fill that time with continuing to grow and shaping the team and creating that next level to that next plateau. 100%. Like that's what leaders is for. A lot of people that get to that place that are like, wow, this is awesome. I got my time back. Actually, I want to make this bigger. That's what that whole program's for.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do that. Or you can choose to stay and enjoy the moment.
Right.
What comes up for you as I share all of that?
Well, I appreciate what you're saying. I appreciate the plateau analogy. I think what you're saying is that's okay. And maybe you need to talk through it a little bit more to really get on board with that it's okay. So it's helpful.
There's almost a way the word complacency has like a lack of choice. And can you own the place of plateau from a place of choice versus a place of feeling like you're resigned to it? Because that sucks all the joy out of it. Like, choose it, don't choose it. That's your choice. I'm ambivalent to which one you do. Yeah, Chris, contentment versus complacent. What are you learning about yourself?
Well, I guess I'm learning, and this is, I think, obvious, just like there's a fear of growing beyond a certain level and having to, there's a fear of change. I would say in some ways there's like a I don't dream big enough thought that goes on.
So my reflection to you is I did not hear fear in when you were talking, when you were back at the point of we're at this place, we bought this business. If I let go of my right-hand service person, then I'm gonna have to grow the team. I heard resistance, but I didn't necessarily hear fear. Fear is underlying all things, so all mindset issues. So what flavor of fear is it?
Did I hear you say that fear is underlying in all things, or you didn't? Is that what you said?
I was working it out in my mind. I'm a verbal processor.
Okay.
So I didn't hear it, but then I'm like, oh, but any resistance does have fear underlying. Otherwise, we would just do it. So, what is the flavor of fear?
Don't know what you mean by that. Flavor of fear.
Yeah. You said fear of growing beyond a certain level. I didn't hear that. Is that true?
You in all of our discussion to this point, what I said, it wasn't exactly what you heard.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's true. I think maybe it's just a fear of change, fear of the unknown, fear of evolution. I do think I have to hire at least one other person and continue to have not just this job of directly working with and serving clients, but then also training and growing and developing team members, which I think requires more time. And at this time of contentment, I'm not really willing to give up.
Sure. That sounds like clarity to me.
Yeah. Fortunately,
And
I have some time This doesn't have to be done like next month.
Yeah.
In terms of the hiring aspect, I do need to really kind of dig in on development of both of my current team members, my client-facing team members. So one of the reasons why I thought it would be good to start the conversation now, because we've got a little bit of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what's your next step?
At present, it's going to be to develop a roadmap, which we have kind of internally for my, what I'll call like third in command, to test their ability to step in as second in command, and then eventually have second in command, which probably may not be for another 12 to 18 months, kind of step out onto their own. And I think in an ideal world, that's how I would like to see things happen, is second in command becomes kind of a forward-facing lead advisor, servicing a portion of the book that no longer fits, and then third in command steps into second, and then we backfill third in command. It's kind of my...
And does that inherently give you more work in the short term, or like, are you taking one for the team as you scoot it up that way?
Taking one for the team in what
is,
way?
Is that third in command your right hand?
No, the second in command is my right hand.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. Cool. Awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'd be taking one for the team at some point, but not that I'm doing more work, because hopefully the third in command would become the right hand.
Got it. Cool.
That's my plan.
Mm-hmm. My invitation to you is to spend more time asking yourself, what do I want? What do I really want?
What happens when you come to this, you gather some data from that discussion with yourself? What do you do then?
What do you do when you find something you want?
Pursue it.
Yeah. You're drawn to it. Right now, what I hear is that you had something that you wanted, scoped out by the framework of Limitless. You got there. You got it. Awesome. I hope you celebrated. That's maybe another thing I should say. Celebrate it. You did it. That's awesome. And what's next isn't apparent. It's not complacency, but it is a space for you to imagine what's next. And until you feel the pull of the want, you're not going to want to do it.
Yeah.
That's okay if you want to choose to stay in this place that you're at. Sounds like you want to create something else, but don't fully know what it is. And the most challenging question I asked you that you said you keep hearing over and over is, what do I want? So the invitation, continue asking yourself that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for being coached.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. And you're also welcome to tag me on Tribe for whatever you find. I'm pretty curious.
Thank you.
All right, friends. That's all I have for today. Thank you so much for tuning in. I appreciate it as always. Like and subscribe. Just kidding. That's totally what I do on my YouTube channel. Anyway, any final thoughts as we close out? Maybe someone who had a personal insight that popped out that you want to share live, or you want to pop in the chat. I'd love to hear it. Let the insights continue to bubble forth, friends. And I will catch you at the next Office Hours, third week of September. Ta-ta.